are now listening.
You are now listening to the Backseat Wrestler Podcast.
Look at Randy Orton slithering.
Watch out.
Hosted by Eric and Elvis.
It's LA Night's game. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to the number one wrestling podcast in the world, the Backseat Wrestler Podcast. We are back, bad never, of course, ready to bring you more wrestling news. Elvis's dog just keeps barking.
Yeah. You want to stop barking, bro? Relax.
Oh, man. But yeah, we are not at not together at this point because it freaking snowed last night. I thought it was going to be worse. It was not even that bad. Yeah. I mean, it was like 6 inches probably, but it still wasn't that bad. Like, once you hit the main roads, it's like barely any snow. Like, I honestly could have just went to pick you up, but whatever.
Screw it.
Yeah, screw it. It's fine. But yeah, of course, this week of wrestling was...
It was all right. I wasn't that entertained.
No.
A couple good things happened. I was like, meh. I don't know why.
I will say this. I can distinctly remember, and maybe it's just because it's Sunday, but I can distinctly remember SmackDown, but I can't remember Raw that much, even though I did watch it, obviously. I mean, once I look at the notes, I'll be like, okay, yeah, I remember that happened, but like, I don't know why. I think SmackDown was better this week, to be honest.
I don't know. I thought they were both like, they were all right. They weren't that good.
Yeah. Also, your host, Eric, and
Elvis.
There you go. He fucking put his and name we're as here. GOAT, but
yes, the GOAT's here.
He's clearly a freaking Celtics fan, as you can tell.
I got the green in the background.
You got the freaking banner in the background and everything, too.
Oh, yeah. And the hat.
All right. But yeah.
It's also for the Eagles. The green's also for the Eagles because I can't stand the Chiefs.
Yeah, I can't stand the Chiefs. Yeah. Before we get into wrestling, yeah, the Super Bowl's today, and I definitely hope the freaking Chiefs lose. If you're a Chiefs fan, I don't care. I hope that they lose. I'm the biggest freaking Chiefs hater ever.
And I hate the Eagles, but I got the Eagles on a parlay, so trying to win some money.
Same. Same. Yeah,
I won a small one on UFC fights yesterday, but I need a bigger one.
I have one for Saquon first touchdown. Really hoping that hits.
I got four players to score a touchdown for 700. Need that one, and then I got another one too. So
yeah, I think I got Saquon first touchdown, and then I got anytime touchdowns for Xavier Worthy and AJ Brown, and what's the other
one?
I got rushing yards for Jalen Brown. I think it was, Jalen Hurts. It was only like 38 yards. I said Jalen Brown because he's your freaking Celtics hat, but yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he gets it. If they do, I win like $800. Freaking, I need that.
Man. Yeah, oh yeah.
But anyways, let's definitely get into, of course, the top stories of the wrestling. Of course, so wrestling this week, there was actually a couple of freaking releases, which were pretty freaking crazy if you think about it.
Yeah.
Some very surprising ones too. Like they had
Giovanni Vinci and Paul Ellering.
But Giovanni Vinci was like the biggest one where I was like, holy crap! Like, you know, they actually released him. I remember, he
just got back.
He just got back, and they gave him that terrible gimmick, and then like they had him losing like 2 seconds back to back matches.
Yeah, so like, and he was gone again.
Yeah, people kept saying, like, give it a chance. And, yeah, no, there's no point in coming back from that. Even we said, like, yeah, there's no way you start your career like that and then you actually do good. So, like, it makes sense why the heck he got released.
No, another surprising one was Sonya Deville.
She was
literally just in the Women's Royal Rumble. And then she was, like, on a news. She was on the news, like, talking for WWE, like, promoting. And then the next day is when they released her. It's kind of messed up. Bigger.
There you go. Yeah, no, that's crazy. She was on the news. Yeah, they let her do that promotion, and they were just like, yeah, no, we're good.
Yeah, but AOP and Paul Ellering, so I guess no more Final Testament, which I'm happy about. Karrion Kross needs that push.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped for that, honestly, because Arthur is paying on, like, you know, they're good wrestlers, but they're honestly holding them back. There was nothing that they could have did with that freaking, with the Final Testament. It was dead in the water as soon as it started, and I'm thanking God that they freaking got rid of them. Because, yeah, they can do some stuff on the indies. They can even go to AEW. Hopefully have some success there. Yeah. You never know. But, yeah, freaking... I'm just happy that this dude is actually going to get a freaking push now. Seems like it.
Yeah.
Going after Sami Zayn recently.
And then some of the other ones were Blair Davenport, Cedric Alexander, Isla Dawn, and the OC, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson.
Yeah. Isla Dawn's another one, or Isla Dawn, or Beck, you want to call her. But yeah, Isla Dawn is one of the ones that's just like really freaking surprising too, because she was
she's good.
She's good, and she was like really big in NXT. And like,
weren't they tag team? She was tag team champion like a few months ago.
Yeah, she was tag team champs for a while. They're noticeably part of, like, obviously stuff back then with, like, Mandy Rose and all that. That was pretty cool. It's just weird that she got freaking released. I wasn't really, that was one that I wasn't expecting at all. I wasn't, not that I was expecting any of these, but still kind of crazy. Cedric Alexander, definitely going to join the Hurt Business in AEW. Yeah, that's definitely coming. That's pretty cool. Hopefully, you know, it'd be nice to see him get a little freaking push. But let's see here. Who else? The OC. Oh, OC. Yeah, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson. I think you mentioned that earlier. That's another one that's a little bit surprising. Then again, not really. They haven't really used him recently. I just thought that they were actually going to push him back out now that AJ Styles is back, but I guess not.
Mm-hmm.
You should change the camera. With that.
Yeah, the camera's like facing upwards. It will not go down. All right, there we go.
There you go. You're fine.
There we go.
Okay. It's focus. All right, it's focus. But yeah, that was good. Yeah, it was a bunch of crazy freaking releases, honestly. I was not expecting any of these. Another one that I do want to point out that was a top story, but we'll talk about it on SmackDown too. Was it Drew McIntyre basically confirmed that he did have a little like a fit backstage at Royal Rumble, but I don't know if I think they're just playing into it or not, because LA Knight versus Jey Uso and Drew McIntyre, they kind of had like a real brawl, or they're just like, you know, obviously kayfabing us, like making fun, like, you know.
Well, I don't know if you saw LA Knight's like promo before the match, but he said, like, I need to get my stuff in.
And then Drew was laughing. Yeah, that's what I knew. I was like, that's hilarious, honestly. I love Drew McIntyre. And LA Knight's funny as hell, but Drew can take a joke, and I love that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyways, other than that, any other top stories?
I think that was it for this week.
Yeah, I don't really think there's anything else. All right, so, yeah, let's definitely get into, of course, Raw then. Raw this week was actually pretty fun. I'm reading through the notes and I'm starting to remember everything that did happen. But like I said, I thought SmackDown was better. I just enjoyed it a little bit more. But yeah, show did start off with Jey Uso's emotional promo. Of course, after he just won the Royal Rumble, a lot of fans still not happy about it. I'm freaking pumped about it. I know you're happy about it. It's a great surprise.
And the fans in the arena were happy. They were
eating.
They were eating like crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so Jey Uso obviously saying, you know, thank you for all the support. I'm going to do the best I can. He gets interrupted by, of course, none other than Gunther, who completely flames Jey Uso, straight up tells him, you know, like, you're not mania worthy. Like, you're not going to add anything to my legacy if I beat you. Obviously, if you choose me, I'm going to obliterate you, destroy you, whatever the heck you want to say. So that was pretty cool. Jey Uso, of course, obviously stating like, hey, I'm going to go to SmackDown and I'm going to talk to Cody. But just so you know, I'm going to walk in as Royal Rumble winner to WrestleMania, but I'm going to walk out as Jey Uso main event champion.
Yeah. Well, Gunther said, obviously, I'm not saying Jey Uso is main event worthy, but he did kind of say he's not going to add to his legacy if he beats him again, which is kind of true because he already beat Jey Uso.
Mm.
So imagine he faces like Roman Reigns or John Cena. That's definitely way more legacy than. So he wasn't wrong about that.
Yeah, he's not lying about that. Obviously, like they still have a couple of months to push, because Jey Uso, he's over. But like, if you want to push him as like that mega star, like obviously dominant person, you're going to have to give him a couple of big wins the next couple of months. Whether it's against freaking, you know, the likes of Seth Rollins, you know,
kind of like remember Daniel Bryan when he had like he's had that big push towards towards
Mania. Main
event for WrestleMania.
Yeah, and he faced like Triple H and all that. Yeah, like you got to get big wins against top stars like that to like actually make it look more believable. I guess to the casual fans who don't really see him as like a main eventer, or even like hardcore fans, still some people still don't really see him like that. But yeah, honestly, if they push him with like some decent wins against some top guys over the next couple months, I think it'll definitely make it look more believable. But if he chooses Gunther, he's definitely winning. I think regardless of who the heck he chooses, he's winning.
Yeah, I think he's gonna win. Yeah,
yeah. But
he said whoever he faces, it, regardless, he's still gonna win, which is it's what he's supposed to say. But
yeah, but I think it's true. Honestly, if I had to choose, though, I feel like I would rather him face Cody. If Cody were to turn heel, obviously with him as a face, it would be kind of boring.
I mean, the promo was pretty interesting with Cody and Jey. We'll talk about that on SmackDown.
Yeah, we will, because it kind of hinted. I don't know. Like again, I like to nitpick everything, but the way he said stuff.
Yes, no, but the way he said stuff, the way Cody did say stuff, like he kind of just like warned them. We'll talk about it, but
yeah, we'll definitely talk about it. But yeah, of course, moving on from that. After that, we had Penta coming out facing Ludwig Kaiser. Obviously, they have a little bit of beef after Penta knocked out Ludwig Kaiser at the Royal Rumble. This was a really fun match, honestly, and Penta did pick up the win there, as he should. That was pretty cool. Sorry, I just freaking burped for a second. but anyways,
Penta,
go ahead.
Penta is already making its way to like mid card title already, like US title or.
Yeah. No, 100%.
They're probably going to have a. Because nobody's going to know. There's no challenger right now for Shinsuke. So they're going to have to do something.
With the US title pitcher? That'd be nice.
Yes. I think he can be in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Penta versus Shinsuke would be fire if they actually build that up. But wait, is Shinsuke on Raw or SmackDown?
That's why I'm confused. But I think.
Because
I don't remember. Is Braun Breaker on Raw?
Braun's on Raw, I'm pretty sure.
Everything's switching, so it's kind of confusing right now.
Well, like they haven't officially like switched over everybody yet, so it's possible. But I think I'm pretty sure Shinsuke is on SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, moving on.
So it's the IC title then from Braun. Okay.
I don't think he's gonna beat Braun. No.
I want them to make Braun dominate the way, especially that they're showing in the Royal Rumble. I'm not even talking about the spear from Speed. I'm talking about when he speared Roman.
Yeah, that was crazy. I still can't believe they did that. I'm happy.
Yeah.
But anyways, moving on from that, we had Charlotte promo. Of course, everybody booing the crap out of her, as they should, as they freaking should.
Yeah, but she was trying to be a baby face. Yeah. That's the thing. It was so awkward at the start.
It was awkward. She was saying, like, you know, even though you guys boo me, I love and missed all of you. And everybody's just like, yes. Boos.
She went through a lot in her time off, and everybody, yeah, it was
freaking nobody cared. Yeah. Crazy. But yeah, of course, she does get interrupted by Rhea Ripley, who begged her to choose her for her, of course, WrestleMania. Charlotte saying, like, you know, obviously I beat you at Mania prior. And of course, Rhea Ripley being like, I also beat you at WrestleMania because they faced each other twice.
They're 1-1.
Yeah, they're 1-1. If they want to run it back, I guess that's fine. I feel like she should face Tiffany Stratton, though, if I'm being honest. Yeah,
but it'd still be a great match, obviously. I mean, either way, Charlotte, no matter how you think you boo her, she's still going to put on a banger match.
Oh, no. Yeah. I have no doubt in my mind that match is going to be like main. Like, if she faces Rhea, that's going to be like match of the night contender for sure.
Yeah. I say Rhea retains. Rhea retains.
Yeah. Rhea should retain. 100%.
Or Tiffany. Or Tiffany. They both retain.
I feel like if she faces Tiffany, she's going to win, even though I don't want her to.
Yeah. The only thing is, Tiffany just won the title. Rhea, if they have to take the title off one of them,
but yeah, you gotta take it off.
I don't want Rhea to lose, though.
I don't want her.
Too dominant, though. I don't know.
Then again,
imagine,
like,
Rhea.
The thing is, like, nobody's really, like, the way that they book it, nobody's on Rhea's level. So, like, if you actually want to give her somebody that's going to give her, like, you know, actually, like, a potentially loss, like, fair and square, obviously Liv Morgan beat her, but through cheating. But, like, a fair and square loss through, like, how the heck they book her. I think Charlotte is the best option for that. So
I think there's three. I think there's three girls that you can see as competing, like, fair and square and beating her. And that's Charlotte. Hmm. Bianca Belair is another one. And Becky Lynch. Those are the three that are, like.
Yeah, but Becky Lynch isn't coming back anytime soon.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, those are, like, the three names that I think of when I think of they can beat Rhea 1-on-1.
I agree. Yeah. Also, if they book, I mean, like, a lot of people probably won't like this, but if they book Nikki Bella correctly, maybe. I'm not saying she's better than Rhea. Rhea's like my number one wrestler. But I'm saying if they want to book her as like that type of way, then yes, they could. But then again, it seems like they're going to book her as a face, so she's probably going to go out to Jordan Stratton.
Is Jordynne Grace? She's officially in WWE, right? Is she going to be on NXT or is she going to be in the main roster?
That they haven't really answered yet. I'm assuming NXT first, even though I think she's too good for the NXT already.
She's really good. She can be another top star.
100%. Yeah. Oh my God, her versus Rhea would be freaking fire. That'd be so great. Yeah, you're right. If they put her on the main roster, she could definitely go after Rhea. I don't think they'll do it that quick though, but you never know.
No, they won't.
Yeah, but anyways, moving on from that, we had the New Day defeating LWO after interference from Logan Paul, of course, attacking Rey Mysterio. One thing I do want to say about that, New Day's new entrance is actually fire. And why? Because Jim Johnson is the one that freaking wrote it.
Actually, I think they made a mistake with that one.
Did they?
I heard apparently they put Jim Johnson in the credits, but apparently that was a mistake.
Really?
But either way, I don't think Death
Rebel. Did Death Rebel actually do a good one then?
No, but it wasn't Death Rebel either. Apparently it was like some rapper. Some rapper commented on about it too. Like, it was me that did it.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Because I remember on SmackDown, they, like, I'm pretty sure they showed him too, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I don't think it was Jim Johnson. I think that was a mistake. But obviously, Jim Johnson's the GOAT in entrance music. I wish they could bring him back as Death Rebel. I'm sorry, but you're trash.
Yeah, no, Death Rebel's freaking themes are terrible. I'm pretty sure there was a report this week that, like, a bunch of WWE superstars were pissed off about their freaking themes being, like, terrible and not being able to, like, actually recognize it.
half the Royal Rumble themes are generic theme 35. Generic. Like, it's just.
Yeah, there's only like a select few where you actually know who it is, and their themes are still trash. It's just more so like there's something in the beginning that like tells you who that is. Like for Drew McIntyre, it's like the shing or yes, like. And, yeah.
Tiffy time. It says it's Tiffy time.
And then yeah, exactly. Like, and then Chelsea Green, like, and you know.
And then it's just generic music.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's terrible.
I think, matter of fact, you're right. Every single theme has like something at the start, and then it's just generic music.
Generic music, yeah. It's so stupid.
What the fuck? So stupid.
I will say this though, Penta's theme is fire. I don't care. I like Penta's
theme. That one's good.
Penta's theme and then, is fire.
Jacob Fatu's is pretty good with the
hot. His fits. Cool. Like, his fits,
yeah,
yeah.
Fits him. Yeah.
It's just there's just it's more bad than good, honestly. Yes. After that, we had the Elimination Chamber qualifier match between Liv Morgan and Io Sky. Liv Morgan actually ended up defeating Io Sky because Rhea Ripley interfered trying to help Io Sky, but ended up costing her shot at Elimination Chamber, which caused Io to be extremely upset. Obviously, which this happened. It did suck, but I think she's going to get it.
I think Io deserves Io. She'd be in the Elimination Chamber. Remember her at that match, the War Games match, how she jumped off the cell inside the trash can? Like, she's so good. You need her in that Elimination Chamber match, I swear.
I'm hoping that she gets in, like, on a last-minute match. You know, sometimes they do that, like, last chance. Hurt. Yeah, somebody gets hurt, or they do, like, last chance match to get in, like, the final spot. And I hope Io Sky gets in, honestly, because she deserves it. Yeah, like, she's, like, one of the best women's wrestler in the freaking roster. You have to have her in it.
A storyline injury, and then have two of the people that lost do a match and maybe she wins.
So. Yeah, honestly. I hope that she gets in. She better get in. It seems like she might. She kind of had like that little thing with Rhea Ripley. She was like, why the heck did you do that? Obviously, Rhea Ripley interfered because backstage, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez attacked Io Sky and Rhea Ripley backstage before this match. So, of course, make Liv Morgan have a better shot, basically. But yeah, moving on from that, we had the Seth Rollins promo, saying he was happy that neither Roman or CM Punk won the Rumble and that he's going to be in the chamber match as well. He does try to hype up Sami Zayn to beat Punk because he wants to keep him on the Elimination Chamber as well. Out comes, of course, CM Punk and the brawling, as always. But sorry, what happened? I'm trying to read again.
I mean, they basically just brawled and got pulled apart, but CM Punk had a match with Sami Zayn anyway.
So Elimination Chamber qualifier match, CM Punk defeated Sami Zayn, and CM Punk honestly was like pointing at the sign and everything too, like, I'm gonna go to WrestleMania, that's my spot. Yeah. I don't care, like, obviously, like, talking trash to Sami Zayn, which I kind of like. Heel Punk needs to come back. But anyways, after the match, Kevin Owens came out and attacked Sami Zayn, which was pretty crazy to me. Hit him with a Packers pile driver. I'm assuming he's gonna come out next week saying, like, you're my best friend, why didn't you attack Cody when he did that to me?
I think apparently he did. I think I forgot. I don't know. I think I forgot to write it, but on SmackDown, he had like a little quick video promo from his car, like
car promos.
And I guess he was basically just mad, saying that you let Cody do that to me right in front of you. You didn't do nothing.
Yeah,
that's basically what he's mad about. So that's another. They have a lot of history together. They always put on banger matches. Let's see what they do with that, I guess.
Yeah. But that was basically it for Raw. Of course, we definitely get into SmackDown. We'll talk about more of that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn situation on SmackDown thing. So let's get into that now. All right, let's go ahead and get into, of course, WWE SmackDown. Before we get into anything, we just finished talking about that Kevin Owens promo. I want to talk about that a little bit more. So, of course, Kevin Owens, after attacking Sami Zayn on Raw, of course, laying him out at the end of the show, he has a little video package promo where he's sitting in his car because that's his favorite place to do video package promos now.
I think another rental.
Basically stating, like, of course, why he did it. Of course, he confirms that, yeah, he did it because Sami Zayn just stood there and watched him get brutally beaten.
His career almost ended, or his life. He says Cody was trying to end his life. He was kind of emotional. He was like almost crying.
Yeah, Kevin Owens.
He's kind of right.
He's like, the emotional scars that you don't even see. He's like, I'm traumatized. Yeah, I actually like this. And, you know, as always, Kevin Owens is right. Kevin Owens and Drew McIntyre are always right. I don't care what anybody says.
Through all this whole thing, even if the stuff he's doing is wrong, he's actually been right about like 99% of the shit he's saying.
Nah, for real. he's stating facts. He's like, you're supposed to be my boy. We're supposed to be best friends forever. And you just stood there and watched him do that. And then, like, obviously, and then also Kevin Owens, Cody Rhodes doing like the heel stuff. by like going up to the freaking table with the titles and like showing off in front of Kevin Owens while Sammy just stood there. Like, bro, like you're gonna let him,
yeah.
You're gonna let him like beat the crap out of me and then emote on me. That's insane. Like, yo, I'd be heated. Yeah. Yo, I'd be pissed off. If somebody knocks me out and then you just stood there, I'd be like, what the fuck you doing? Yo, I'd be heated, yeah. Yo. So I completely agree with what Kevin Owens is saying. I like this. I think it's a great step in the right direction. As to where this storyline goes, I'm hoping, and this is just me, of course, being a going back to Cody Rhodes turning heel, is Kevin Owens eventually shows Sami Zayn that he's right and that Cody Rhodes is an asshole. And that he should like, of course, join Kevin Owens to expose Cody Rhodes for who he truly is, which is a heel. You know what I mean?
Well, let's not forget, he's still part of the Bloodline, so I don't know if that's going to happen. Because Kevin hates the Bloodline, too, so.
Yeah, that's also true.
Let's not forget about that. We got to see, which since we haven't seen them together in a while, which I'm hoping they come out. Remember those banger entrances where they all came out together, Paul Heyman?
Yeah, but then again, we're not even sure when the heck Roman Reigns is going to come back. They said that he's going to be gone for an undisclosed amount of time. Because he's
injured. But it's probably
it's storyline.
The Elimination Chamber. He's got to be in the Elimination Chamber. I think
we'll see. We'll see. Maybe they hold him off. I think. But like
John Cena's not going. We're not going to see John Cena till Elimination Chamber. He's filming a movie, it's only 1 month away anyway. But we're not going to see him for a whole month until that Elimination Chamber.
But still, there's like that that whole like reported match that's supposed to happen now with Roman Reigns versus Seth Rollins versus CM Punk at Mania, which I think is freaking stupid. I think it's dumb, honestly. I think it should be Seth Rollins.
Think about it, though. It's fire.
It's okay. Like, the match on paper is fire, but I just think, like,
when's the last time we had a good triple threat? It's always one on one. I think triple threats triple threats are always good.
I know you're right. Like, on paper, it seems fire, but it just seems like it's like lazy booking. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's kind of like, remember, like Daniel Bryan, Triple H versus Batista. No, it was. I mean, Randy.
No, because that's different. Because the title's on the line. That makes sense. Like, it makes sense. And it was like the underdog storyline. This one is they have three top stars. They don't know what the heck to do with them. They're going to run back Seth Rollins versus CM Punk. And then, hey, why the heck not? We have nothing else for Roman. Let me just throw him in there.
Yeah. What else? Then they have Triple H, John Cena, and Randy Orton. I think in another. There's been a lot of good triple threat matches.
Yeah, I'm not denying the match is going to be great. Like, it's going to be a fantastic match. I just think it's freaking what you mean, lazy booking.
The booking.
Yeah, it's just like lazy last minute booking that they kind of like, I guess, like dug a hole for themselves and they kind of just threw themselves.
Especially for Roman, who's usually always the main event.
Yeah.
So this is the first time in a while where he's probably not going to be the main event.
No, if that's the match, it's definitely not going to be main event. I mean, like, obviously, there's going to be two title matches. Cody Rhodes definitely main event. And then I feel like if Charlotte and Rhea are running back, they might throw that as a main event. I'm not sure.
Yeah, but remember last year, Roman had the main event in a tag team match, and the world heavyweight title was on the undercard. It was just the first match on the night. So
yes, however, you had Roman Reigns and The Rock on a team.
No, of course,
yeah. So it just made sense. CM Punk,
but still, CM Punk, Seth, and Roman—that's main event worthy.
It is main event worthy.
Still do it
100%. But I just feel like if they do that main event over, like, because obviously Jey Uso is getting the main event 100%, regardless who the heck he chooses. And if he's going to choose Gunther, and Cody Rhodes is not going to get the main event. He's already said he needs the main event and he needs to win it in order to solidify his title.
I almost forgot about Cody. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. So he's definitely not getting the main event at the very least. But anyways,
actually, no, Miss Mania is going to be stacked.
It's going to be a stacked Mania. Yeah, I'm super excited. But anyways, Jey Uso comes out. Of course, this is the beginning of SmackDown. Jey Uso calls out Cody Rhodes. Says he has yet to make his decision. Cody says, "If you choose me, we're going to party one last time in this tonight, and then that's going to be the end of it," is basically what he's trying to say. Basically saying, like, you choose me, like, we'll be cool tonight, but after that, like, no, it's like, it's all business, all seriousness, like, we can't be and friends. And
he warned them too, like, you choose me, I'm sorry, but you're not, I'm still walking out of Mania with the championship, so.
Yeah, I mean, as he should.
But the way he was saying it, you could just tell, like, in his face. The way he says stuff is crazy because he looks like a heel when he's saying stuff.
Now, I know. And I think people are going to say we're just nitpicking stuff, which I...
Yeah, of course.
I agree. We are nitpicking stuff.
I agree.
But like, yeah. I don't care. I want heel Cody. honestly, you're right. I feel like Cody is slow. I feel like it's just an extremely slow burn heel turn. It really is.
Somebody in one of the comments in one of the reels called us Homelander nerds. I just laughed at it. Like,
yeah, I love that. And what about it? Damn. Yeah, there was one dude who was like, calm down, nerds. And then his photo, like his profile picture, which I was dying of, was him like this, but he was wearing a freaking a Darth Vader mask. And I was just like, okay.
You Star Wars fucking.
No, I love Star Wars. Look at this.
Hold Star up. Wars is beast. Star Wars is good. Hey, I just laugh. Hey, when people hate on us, I laugh at it. So as long as they comment, I'm happy. I don't care. I laugh at it.
No, I laugh at the jokes that they make of us. It's
one
hilarious.
Of the comments, some dude told me to shut up and let you talk. In one of the,
yeah,
was
I was the dying.
I was like, all right, my bad.
I replied, I was like, my bad, bro. We're still learning.
I was thinking about that. Yeah, my bad. It's because I forgot what
comment. We just get passionate about shit to try to get it out.
Especially, and then over the video is hard because the timing is always like a second off. So.
Yeah, yeah. But anyways, moving on. So basically, yeah, they get interrupted by Cody and Jey Uso. Get interrupted by Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga. Jacob Fatu tells Cody that the title needs to come back to the family, but Jey Uso is not the man to do it. Jey Uso, of course, super kicks Tama Tonga. They end up brawling out, and that sets up a match for later on in the night between Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu versus Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. That was the main event. Do you want to talk about the main event now just to get out of the way?
I mean, yeah, but real quick, because we're talking about Jacob Fatu anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing an Elimination Chamber qualifier, Jacob Fatu versus Braun Strowman versus Damian Priest triple threat, which is kind of weird because every match has been a singles match except for that one, which kind of makes no sense.
Well, not really. The Jey Uso match on SmackDown was a triple threat match for.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. But every other one is single, so it's kind of not fair to some people. It makes
that's what I'm saying. They're definitely gonna have a last minute match, 100%, like a last minute entry match between like the losers or something like that. Yeah, but anyways, but that's
next week.
That's next week. That's gonna be a banger of a match. I think Jacob Fatu wins. There's no way you have that monster not in the Elimination Chamber. Imagine him just Damian like jumping Priest. Out. Damian Priest needs it too. Yeah, but I like I said.
Maybe he's the last second.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're going to have like a last-minute qualifier between the losers in the men's and the losers in the women's, 100%. There's no way they don't do that. There's too many good people to leave out. But anyways, yeah, the main event saw Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso defeating Tama Tonga and Jacob Fatu with the massive return of Solo Sikoa coming out and hitting a Samoan Spike on Cody Rhodes. I think this is maybe what Jacob Fatu was alluding to, was said like this title needs to come back to the family, but Jey is not the man to do it. I think he thinks Solo is the man to do it.
Yeah, but the only thing is, I'm happy Solo's back. I was calling for it. I'm glad to see Solo back. But we kind of literally seen this match like three times already. Remember at Bad Blood? Bad Blood was a tag team. What was it? It was when Roman returned. Wasn't it Cody versus Solo? Then Roman. What was that? Survivor Series? I mean,
no, wasn't it a Saturday Night's main event?
No, they faced each other. Remember when Roman returned? That was at a big pay per view. That was.
Oh my God!
SummerSlam.
I think it was SummerSlam. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. And it was SummerSlam.
It was Cody versus Solo. And then Cody versus Solo had another match. They fought like five times already, I think. That's the only thing I don't like. I'm glad Solo's back, but I feel like it's the same storyline again.
Yeah, I was hoping for more of a Solo versus Jacob Fatu type of match where Jacob Fatu is like, you let this family down. You lost your Ulafala. I'm the guy that's in charge now. Now you got to fall in line. You know what I mean?
That would be nice. That would have kind of made Solo a babyface, and he's not the babyface type. He just looks like an angry motherfucker. I don't know. They could have found this something else, but I don't know. I'm still okay with it, but I'm just saying. We kind of seen this already, so I hope it's not just Cody versus Solo.
Yeah.
Hopefully he attacked him, but it doesn't lead to a singles match. It's just he's back. I don't know. Let's see what they do anyways.
Yeah, we'll see what the heck they do. Like, obviously, we're going to get more answers. It was at the end of the show, so obviously we got to get that promo out. We got to see what the heck they're going to do with that. Maybe he gets one more final shot at Elimination Chamber. Maybe. We'll see. But I don't think he's going to go. I don't think he's going to face him at Mania or anything like that. I don't think so at all.
No. Definitely not.
Well, Elimination Chamber winner would face, which is probably going to be John Cena, which would be freaking nice. Yeah. So yeah, that's another thing. Are we going to get John Cena versus Cody? That's kind of weird. I mean, I'm not going to. I think it's going to be a good match. I just think it's like. I just thought it would be like Cena versus the heel. We don't know yet. Yeah, you're right. Because Jey Uso
might be John Cena versus Gunther. Yeah, it could be John Cena versus Gunther.
We'll see. But anyways, moving on from that, we had the Elimination Chamber qualifier match between Bianca Belair and Piper Niven. Bianca Belair picked up the win. She scooped up Piper Niven. Like, yo, Bianca Belair is freaking strong as hell. I got to say that.
Yeah.
But Bianca Belair picked up the win, as she should.
Yeah. Real quick, I think Gunther, instead of having, like, Gunther Actually, I don't know, man, because he's still good too. But I was gonna say they should have put the World Heavyweight title on the line in the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah,
but that's just my opinion. I'm still fine with him defending at Mania. Gunther's one of the best. So,
yeah, that was so funny though. After that, we had DIY coming out to cut a promo on the death of Motor City Machine Guns, which I thought was hilarious. They tried to get a moment of silence, but were interrupted by Pretty Deadly, of course, who ended up getting a match made by Nick Aldis, basically stating like, hey, you know, they've helped you a lot. Let's get them a match. If they beat you, they earn a title shot. And Pretty Deadly ended up escaping with a win. They ended up stealing the win with a roll-up pin, which I thought was pretty cool. That was nice. Yeah, I'm freaking pumped about that. But... yeah. After that, we had Drew coming out. And the reason we get by that, because not really much happened after that. But anyways, Drew came out, confirmed he did crash out backstage, which I thought was hilarious. He confirmed he's officially on SmackDown, says Raw was a toxic workplace, and that's why he's been so angry lately. He thinks Adam Pearce is an idiot. He thinks Nick Aldis actually... yeah. is going to do a lot better for him. So I guess maybe potential face Drew McIntyre incoming. I don't think so, but no. I just think he has anger problems. But again, he's just like Kevin Owens. He's always freaking right.
I mean, remember when he first returned, he was the Scottish psychopath. Look at, hold on. Let me get my dog out real quick.
Nah, you're fine. This kid's dog just barks nonstop. Also, his dog stole cookies from my daughter the other day, which was hilarious. It wasn't hilarious, but it wasn't hilarious at the moment, but looking back, it was hilarious. Oh, greedy ass dog.
Did you see this kid ran into my room real quick? I don't know if he came out.
Nah, I didn't see him.
The dog's out.
All right. Anyways, so of course he says he's on SmackDown, to of course go after the WWE Championship. He does get interrupted by Jimmy Uso. Who says he's going to cash in this chance at Mania, and that Drew needs to go through him in order to get to Elimination Chamber, because obviously they're going to have that match in a little bit. Drew says him and Jay are the same, except Jay said yeet first, so it must hurt Jimmy inside. And Jimmy's like, nah, like, that's my boy, that's my brother, like, I'm happy for him. I'm going to cast my ticket. I can say yeet, I can say no yeet. The crowd was like playing with it. Yeah. I'm Big Jim, called himself Big Jim. And then they get interrupted by LA Knight, who's also in this triple threat match. And this was freaking interesting, because LA Knight comes out saying there's death, taxes, and Drew crying over losing the title, which I thought was hilarious. He says, hold up, let me get my stuff in. Or I forgot to get my stuff in, which is a callback to Drew McIntyre being pissed off at him for getting all of his stuff in that Royal Rumble, and Drew not being able to get his stuff over. That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, it was just, I guess they hit it. The elimination was... I guess it messed up Drew McIntyre's elimination, but it wasn't even really LA Knight's fault. Logan was celebrating too much, so he had to wait for Logan Paul.
Yeah, well, I think it was a mixture of a couple of things, and it seems like they're over it, to be honest. People are like...
It wasn't even that bad.
Yeah, because during the match, they had like a little spot where like, LA Knight kicked him in the forehead, Drew McIntyre got up pissed off, smacked him in the back of the head, and then they kind of like brawled for a little bit, and then Jimmy Uso came out and like separated them, and then the match went on. But people were like calling that out, being like, oh, see, like they had like a little brawl there. It's like, I don't think so. I feel like they just like got each other receipts, and that's why this match was put on in the first place. They got a couple of receipts off on each other, and now they're cool. Cause even Drew was laughing.
He was laughing when he said that in the promo. Yeah.
Yeah.
The match was triple threat for the Elimination Chamber qualifying.
Good match too. Good match.
Great match.
Yeah. Was it Drew McIntyre ended up picking up the win? Hit a claymore. That was freaking fire. I love his finisher. But anyways, yeah, Drew McIntyre ended up picking up the win, so of course he qualified for the match. I thought Jimmy was gonna win, to be honest. Even though I think Drew's the right choice, but I thought Jimmy was gonna win because of like his promo saying like, I got to cast my ticket for Mania. There's no way I'm not gonna be a Mania. Da da da. But maybe he's in the last minute qualifying match too. There's so many freaking good people in there. I'm not sure who the heck they're gonna find his way
in Mania, definitely.
Yeah. Somehow. I don't know where they're gonna put him, but he's definitely gonna be in it at some freaking type of form. And I think it's actually gonna be a match form. I don't think it's gonna be just like him cheering on Jay.
Yeah. Maybe they do something with like somehow he faces Solo or something, or he faces Jacob Fatu at WrestleMania. You never know.
Yeah, if he faces Jacob Fatu, it's RIP Jimmy. to be honest, but anyways, after that we had Carmelo Hayes versus Akira Tozawa. Carmelo Hayes ended up picking up the win there. It was a little squash match. It was fine. After that, we had the Elimination Chamber qualifier match between Alexa Bliss and Candice LeRae, in which Alexa Bliss ended up picking up the win. But the big story there was during her match, a couple of eyes flashed, and then a little image of what looked like the Wyatt Six flashed as well. So they're teasing that she's going to join the Wyatt Six, which is great because that freaking storyline is dead in the water.
Yeah, I was going to say it wasn't great because the storyline's dead in the water, but at the same time, she could help rebuild it. But
yeah, I'm not sure what. They just moved. Yeah.
They just moved to SmackDown.
Yeah, they just moved to SmackDown. I'm not sure what the heck they're going to do. Like, I'm not sure how she's going to revive it, is what I'm trying to say, but I'm hoping that she does.
Yeah. I don't know how she's going to fit since they already got, like, the witch, Nikki Cross. So I don't know how that's going to work.
I have no idea. They're going
to work together. I have no idea how she fits into that storyline. Obviously, she has history of Bray, but still.
Yeah, I mean, like,
kind of different.
It'll be an easy plug-in. Like, take this plug her in. Obviously, she has history with Bray. She's obviously been like a part of that faction since prior to even freaking being created. But in terms of like what her role is going to be, I know what you mean. Like, I don't know what the heck she's going to do. Like, yeah, is she going to be the leader? I don't think so. I think Uncle Howdy's the leader. But then again,
Howdy's always going to be the leader. But we haven't seen him, so I don't know. I hope they can do something because. Can't just throw away that character. That character was good for a minute, and then it's, I don't know.
I don't know how you fumble that. Like, the whole, like, remember their debut? It was so freaking fire. Like, I don't know how the heck you fumble that in the way that
I'm saying even when they had Uncle Howdy, like, the old version, when Bray was feuding with LA Knight, yeah. I think they can somehow capture that along with this Y6, how they debuted. I don't know how they're going to do it, but.
I don't know. I feel like they need to do something match wise. They like these freaking. They're like, I understand like they want to do like the video package promos. They're always great with the Wyatt Six. Obviously, we talked about it a while ago when they were like putting out those videotapes. Every single one was so freaking interesting. But it just like landed dead in the water after that. Like, they got to do something, especially now that the Final Testament is out. I know that rivalry is gone. Thank freaking God, yeah. Because that rivalry was terrible. Now they can actually focus on something else that's actually going to be freaking important.
Yeah, but they need to make Uncle Howdy like an actual star. Like, they need one of those, like, remember the scary superstar? You had Undertaker and Bray and all these. You got to somehow make Uncle Howdy that top star as, like, I can't even explain it. Just like that, superstitious star. I don't know.
You mean like a supernatural?
Supernatural, you know, like an Undertaker or like a Bray Wyatt. Now he needs to be the next one because there's nobody like that right now in WWE.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the heck they're going to do. Like, they have, like, the perfect faction that they can actually build off of, and they haven't done anything with them. They got to do something. That's all I'm saying. Like, they got to do something because this thing is dead in the water. I was going
to say, turn into the Ministry of Darkness, though.
Oh, hell no.
they were too crazy.
Yeah. After that, let's see. Actually, no, that's basically it for SmackDown, honestly.
That was basically it for SmackDown.
Yeah, we talked about the main event already. But yeah, that was basically it for SmackDown. Wrestling this week for WWE is actually pretty good. Next main event is March. Not main event. Next pay per view for them is March 1st, which is Elimination Chamber.
I think I think it's March 8th.
No, I thought it was March 1st. You know I know because I checked.
Let me see. Which is Revolution then?
Let me see. Elimination Chamber 2025.
And which day is Revolution?
March 1st is Elimination Chamber.
Okay, so Revolution, I think, is the week after.
Yeah, the week after.
I was probably thinking about Revolution. That's why I was thinking about Revolution.
Yeah, but. The reason I know is because I was thinking about going, but the tickets were crazy, to be honest.
And that's in Toronto, right?
It's in Toronto. Again. Yeah, the plane tickets were crazy.
I could have sworn they were just in Toronto last year for the Elimination Chamber. I'm tripping.
Yeah, we were talking about that. I'm not sure. I got to look it up. Where the heck was 2024?
2024 Elimination Chamber. I think it was. If it's not, it was definitely another pay-per-view. Wasn't it in Vancouver?
No, actually, Elimination Chamber was in Perth, Australia.
What the hell? There was a pay-per-view in Vancouver. I swear. I got to be going crazy. They were in Vancouver. It wasn't in Toronto, but they were. I think there was in Vancouver. Oh, my God. I must be going crazy. I swear to God, they had a pay-per-view in Canada last year.
Yeah, wasn't that the one where, like, was it Sami Zayn had a match?
Exactly.
Against, like, Roman?
Was it a limit? No. Was this virus? Oh, my God. I don't know.
I don't know.
I just know there was definitely a pay-per-view in Vancouver or in Canada. Let's say that.
It's cool. Their fans are great. I mean, like,
I've been to a
wrestling pay-per-view in Canada, and their freaking fans are fantastic. Yeah. They were going off.
Especially for their hometown people. Yeah, they
always cool. No, 100%. But yeah, of course, that was basically it for, of course, SmackDown. We could definitely get into, of course, the AEW side of things. Collision was actually pretty good. We're not going to talk about the full Collision, but obviously I'm going to run down through a couple of things that's going to happen because it led up to a great Grand Slam card. So let's get into that now. All right, let's go ahead and get into, of course, our AEW Dynamite review. And then, of course, we'll get into a little bit of Collision as well because Collision was actually pretty good this week. But, of course, it did start off with of course, Def Riders versus, not Def versus, sorry, Def Riders and Rated FTR, again, Culp or Adam Copeland or Edge, whatever the heck you want to call him, with FTR brawling out. Jay White was also involved as well. Of course, he's on Rated FTR side, leading to basically Adam Copeland demanding a match against Jon Moxley for the AEW World Championship. And Jon Moxley saying, no, like, you don't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. Which led to Jay White grabbing a freaking mic and basically stating, like, hell no, like, let's have a tag team match. Me and Adam Copeland versus Jon Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli, which was confirmed for Grand Slam, which is this Saturday coming up. Well, we thought it was last Saturday, but no, it's this Saturday coming up.
Grand Slam is looking good. And I'm sick and tired of seeing the world title not being defended and not even on TV. So, and I'm sick and tired of Jon Moxley with the title. It's just, I think it's honestly bringing the company, like, really down. I'm not even lying.
No, I agree. So, I agree. I feel like it's time for freaking Adam Copeland. Sorry, I think it's time for Jon Moxley to lose that title. Like,
yeah, and the three guys we've always been talking about, you've been high on Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny Omega for sure.
And Jay White, you've been high on, and then I've been high on Hangman. Those are the three I think that are easily deserving. Aren't they? They pretty sure they're like day ones for AEW almost.
Yeah, Jay White, not Jay necessarily,
White,
but sort of.
Not Jay White, but yeah, sort of. But yeah. Still, though, if you're gonna take the title off of Moxley, it has to be those three.
Yeah, I think honestly, Kenny Omega is the perfect guy because Jon Moxley is just straight up anti AEW. Kenny Omega is all AEW. Obviously, he's one of the guys that helped create it. So why not it be him? That'd be great. But then again, you're right.
I mean, yeah, Adam
Page would be perfect. Yeah, he is.
EVP. And Heyman's an EVP too, right?
No, so, I don't think so.
I thought Heyman was I could have sworn Heyman is.
He might be.
I must be tripping. I think he is.
All right. Then, well, anyways.
I must be tripping, but I think he is. If not, he's a day one. And obviously, his character is like one of the most perfect ones right now in AEW.
Yeah, no, he has the most well-written character in AEW.
But obviously, what Kenny Omega's been through over the last couple years, and then obviously him being like the main star, one of the main starters of AEW, he'd be perfect too, like you said. So, and then Jay White is Jay White.
Yeah, the thing about Hangman is I feel like if they do that, they're just going to rewrite. It's basically going to be like the same thing as the storyline he had where he had to build himself back up, became like obviously believed himself again, and then ended up defeating Kenny Omega. It's going to be pretty similar to that, honestly, except it's going to be like him slowly turning face, which it seems like they might be doing, honestly. He looks like he's slowly going back to being a face. I think he even cut a promo backstage on this show where they were asking him about like the whole Christopher Daniels thing a couple weeks ago, where he felt bad because he ended Christopher Daniels' career, and it looked like he was pretty upset.
We're going to talk about that. MJF interrupted him. Man.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
But yeah, if not, I think Heyman, they got to put a title on him somehow. So if it's not the world title, what do you got? You got the TNT championship, you got the Continental championship.
I think he's far from the TNT. I think he's way ahead of that, though.
No, I honestly, like I've been saying, I think he's world title right now. But if you have to, put something on him, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. But I feel like there's nowhere to plug him in except the world title picture at the moment. But anyways, after that, we had Will Ospreay versus Mark Davis. Of course, Davis was announced as a mystery Don Callis family member. So I guess he's officially part of Don Callis family. Or it was just a tryout match. They haven't really confirmed yet.
So I read something else, too. Apparently, because I think it was confirmed on Collision, apparently. He's kind of like being forced almost to be in the Don Callis family.
I guess.
I don't know. I got to check that again.
I saw something like that too, where like it's kind of confusing. They're not sure if he's like there on his own will or if it's forcibly or if this is just a tryout or they don't know yet. So anyways, he faced Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay ended up picking up the win. Of course, Don Callis at ringside. He did try to get involved at one point. Pretty decent match. And then of course Kenny Omega came out basically hyping up the tag team match that they're gonna have a Grand Slam against Don Callis' family. I think it's against what? Is it against Kyle Fletcher and
It's Kyle. Yeah, it's Kyle
Takesta, right? Isn't it him and Takesta? Yeah. So
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Takesta and Kyle Fletcher versus Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega, which is gonna be a banger of a match.
I think that'd be a big win by Takesta and Fletcher, but obviously,
I think Omega.
You gotta give Kenny. I think you gotta give Kenny Omega the W.
Yeah, Omega's definitely gonna get that W. Like I said, I think Omega. He's kind of like, I don't think he's like
the main
guy in his storyline, though. I feel like it's more so Will Ospreay. Yeah. And then, like, Omega is just, like, there to help him, I think, honestly.
Yeah, but also, he's also a former Don Callis family member, too, so that's why.
Yeah, they both are. That's the thing. That's why it's such a good storyline that way.
But at the same time, We got to get Kenny out of that and get Kenny into that
main story. Yeah, the freaking Moxie storyline for sure. Because, like you said, it's Moxie. I feel like it's at this point it's bad for business. Like, obviously, not having that freaking title like on TV. They haven't seen it in months. Like, come on now, that's your main title.
I'm not even trying to hate on Moxley, but if you look at the last five AEW World Champions, he's probably the worst one. I'm not even trying to hate on him either.
Well, who are the last five? Who's been. Swerve? Swerve was...
No, Brian Danielson.
Brian Danielson was good.
Then it was Swerve before that. What was it? Who did Swerve beat for it? I'm actually...
Yeah, see?
Did he beat Hank? Who did he beat for it?
It wasn't Hank.
I know it was Brian Danielson, Swerve. I know Brian Danielson, Swerve, and then I know MJF has been one of the last five. I know that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else. But either way, he's got to be up there as like, just because, but it's not his fault, I guess, because it's the storyline. But if you put it all together, he's got to be one of the worst AEW World Champions right now, just because he's not even defending it, and he's not on TV. He's kind of boring.
Yeah, no, they dropped the ball in the storyline. It's been boring as hell, if I'm being serious. They had like,
yeah,
I watch AEW a lot, and I love AEW, but that storyline is
watch
like,
every show.
Sucks. It sucks.
We watch every show. We talk about it on the podcast. Yeah. It's not like we don't watch it.
No, honestly, the best thing in AEW right now is Toni Storm, and that women's division is just on fire, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's like, that's a good thing, because like I said, their women's division is great right now.
And then like Swerve and the Hurt Syndicate, those are like the top things right now in AEW.
Yeah, well, Swerve is always going to be one of the top things. Ricochet is honestly a shining light in it, too. He's actually doing pretty good recently. I mean, not saying he can cut a freaking promo because he can't. But
The Swerve storyline is helping him. That's what it is.
That's what it is. Yeah, you're right. But anyways, after that, we had the Hurt Syndicate promo warning the tag team division. Of course, obviously, they are the tag team champions. Still have the best freaking, well, one of the best themes in AEW. Possibly going to get Cedric Alexander because he just got released by WWE. Basically solidifying the Hurt business in AEW, but now called the Hurt Syndicate.
Oh my god! I hope they all become dominant. Like you can give one of the other guys like a mid card title. Have
Bobby Lashley needs the guy. He needs to be the guy, like the main guy, obviously.
Yeah,
100%.
I was gonna say he could win a world title, but I don't think at this moment.
At this moment, too many guys. Fit.
Too many guys ahead of him for that, but
yeah, no, it doesn't fit. Of course, after that, the Guns actually made their return, which was really freaking cool. Happy that they're back. They return, challenge the Hurt Syndicate to a title match next week, in which they agreed. The Guns were funny too, because they're just like, you know, like your stuff is like really stupid. Like, yeah, you hurt people. It's like, isn't that the whole reason of like being a wrestler? You're supposed to hurt the other people. So what the hell's like, doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you're kind of right.
And then the Hurt Business just gotta call them like the ass boys and shit.
Yeah, yeah. So the typical stuff that they always call the Guns. I'm actually like, the Guns grew on me, to be honest. Like the entire time, like when before they were with like Jay White, I thought they were whatever. But like honestly, them like pairing them with Jay White definitely elevated them.
Once they got the Bullet Club Gold, elevated them.
It definitely elevated them. And I think it's just because Jay White's star power. Like they underutilized Jay White a lot. They're starting to use him a lot right now, but still.
You had Juice Robinson in that group. That group was great.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. Juice Robinson is hilarious too. But yeah, of course, the Guns, they are definitely a challenge for, of course, the Hurt Syndicate.
They're not going to win.
I don't think they're going to win. No, there's no way. Hurt Syndicate just won the titles. I feel like they're going to hold that on for a little while. And then eventually lose it, possibly to FTR, because FTR and Collision did announce they are going to go after the titles now. Like, they want those titles back. It's time for them to get them back. So they're probably going to end up losing to FTR eventually, but probably not for a little while. I think maybe at All In. I think that makes sense.
Probably.
Yeah. Of course, after that, we had Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher versus the Hounds of Hell, a.k.a. Buddy Matthews and Brody King, and this was a banger of a match. Oh my god, I love this match. This match was great. It looked like the Hounds of Hell were going to win, but then Okada's music hit and distracted Buddy Matthews, and then of course Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher ended up picking up the win there, which is cool because they needed that win. Obviously, Don Callis family have that big match coming up against
Will Ospreay. Okada versus Buddy Matthews is confirmed for a Grand Slam for the Continental Championship. And honestly, I wouldn't mind Buddy Matthews winning. They haven't done nothing with him. Remember, we've been saying that for a few years already.
So. Well, it seems like they're going to give him a big push now that like Malakai Black is basically out of AEW now. Like he's definitely going back to WWE. So it looks like they're probably going to give him a push. I hope they do. The dude is a talented wrestler, and he's pretty decent on a mic if you give him a chance. On Collision, he had like a little backstage one-on-one. Well, of course, it was moderated, but still, like, one-on-one, like, little promo between Buddy Matthews and Okada, which I thought was really cool. Nothing really much happened because Okada showed up late, and Buddy Matthews, like, kind of got in his face and said, like, you know, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to beat you. I know that, like, you, like, your little bullshit, like, you know, calling people the B-I-T-C-H word and all that stuff is, like, not the real you. I want the real you at Grand Slam, and I'm going to get that out of you. And then, like, he, like, basically, like, tried to, like, fake through a punch at Okada, and Okada looked scared. And Buddy was like, see you at Grand Slam, tapped him and walked away, and Okada looked pissed. So I'm hoping we get a banger of a match, and we definitely are, where we get, like, the OG Okada, like, the one that's just, like, I'm going to beat the crap out of you. And not, like, the not the jokester Okada, even though I love jokester Okada. Like, his time in AEW has been great.
He's been good in both.
Both roles, yeah.
Serious jokester.
But him as, like, a serious, like, going back to that would be really freaking cool to see. But like you said, I think I got Buddy Matthews picking up the win. Okada's held that title for a long time. I think it's a perfect thing. And if they're going to change any title at Grand Slam, it makes sense for that one. Because isn't Buddy Matthews from Australia, or am I tripping?
Yeah, like Rhea.
Like Rhea, exactly. That's going to be cool.
That'd be big for him. That'd be huge for him.
Massive.
And like you said, if you look at all the other titles, none of the other ones look like they're right now they're going to lose.
No, they don't.
So if you're going to do one, actually, maybe the world title also with Tony Storm and Ryan May, which we'll get to. But other than that, you got to do the Continental, I think. Switch it up.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting. Who's TNT champion? I'm sorry, because I
Daniel Garcia. They haven't really done much with him. That's why.
That's what I'm saying. They haven't done much.
He had a match on Collision, but they ended up losing. Yeah. But it was a trios match, and he ended up losing. That was one with, like, Undisputed Kingdom. And Undisputed Kingdom ended up picking up the win. But, And honestly, it looks like Adam Cole might eventually go after that title, which I'm hoping he does and he wins it, because that'd be pretty cool to have Undisputed Kingdom with the Trios titles and a TNT championship, especially because they promised gold around their waist, like multiple golds around their waist for 2025. So we'll see.
Yeah, but think about it. Like, every single faction in AEW is promised gold. It's just, there's so much going on right now.
That's true.
They got too many factions, I think. Bullet Club Gold, Death Riders, Rated FTR.
Yeah, but Bullet Club Gold, it seems like it's kind of... They're not really doing anything with them anymore. Yeah. It seems like they're not, because it seems like the guns are on their own now. And obviously Jay White's doing his own thing at the moment. Juice Robinson, is he still injured? I don't even know.
I could have sworn he returned a few weeks
ago. He returned and we haven't seen him since. Yeah, so I don't know what the hell they're doing with him. But anyways, so of course, MJF promo. That's what happened. Yeah, Chris. So the MJF promo, basically talking crap about Jeff Jarrett, and then out comes Dustin Rhodes. So MJF is just going to go through the retirement home, I guess, multiple freaking times until he gets to the ultimate retirement home guy, aka Chris Jericho. That's what I think is going to happen.
The sad part is Dustin Rhodes, people were more interested in MJF versus Dustin Rhodes than they were MJF versus Jeff Jarrett.
That's not sad. Jeff Jarrett, Dustin Rhodes is way better than freaking Jeff Jarrett.
No, I'm just saying, though. They spent all this time on this Jeff Jarrett thing, and then Dustin Rhodes just gets inserted and he's getting, like, the bigger cheers.
Well, you know why? It's because Dustin Rhodes can actually cut a promo. That's why.
Yes, and then he got heated when MJF brought up Cody Rhodes.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. He was like,
Also, during this whole segment, it was Hangman and Max Caster were kind of having, like, a backstage, like, promo, and then MJF cut him off, like, with the time, which got them pissed. They ended up, they went to the ring, too, after that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. MJF says something to the likes of, like, oh, you spent 37 years trying to get out of your father's shadow just to be under your younger brother's shadow. And then, Dustin Rhodes ended up brawling him out. Dustin Rhodes had, like, he also had a match on Collision where he basically beat a jobber and then just cut a promo saying, like, I'm going to kick your ass next week. So that match is set for, I think, Dynamite.
MJF, they had a brawl that got pulled apart, but MJF ran back in the ring and low-blowed him.
Yeah.
Which led to a lot of boos, but...
Yeah, but still, I don't know what the hell they're doing with MJF. They're just having him face all the old guys.
He almost attacked Christopher Daniels, too, who was there. And like I said, MJF, it was kind of weird. It had nothing to do with them, but Hangman and Max Caster were there because Max Caster was chasing Hangman, and Hangman was already pissed at MJF for taking up some of this time.
They keep teasing MJF versus Hangman, which I'm...
That's what's going to lead to, I think, this whole thing.
It's weird, though. It's such a weird path for MJF to take, though.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on here.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like they're just going through all the retirement people. Like, eventually he's just going to get to Chris Jericho, which, honestly, I wouldn't mind that. I'm not – obviously, Chris Jericho at this age is no longer the freaking top guy. But if they did something where MJF is like – MJF versus Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho loses, he retires, and MJF wins.
Well, Chris Jericho, fire. Obviously, no matter what we think about his with the thing he's doing now, he's obviously one of the GOATs. He deserves a huge
title. Oh, 100%. Yeah.
I don't like Sting. Yeah. There's a huge,
I think, like, anyway, Chris Jericho up until like 2021 is probably like my top three all time, like one of my GOATs, 100%. Yeah. After that, it's just been bad, to be honest. It's just been like really boring.
Whatever. He's old. What are you going to do?
I guess so. After that, we had Toni Storm defeating Queen Almeida, but this was funny as hell because Toni Storm was cosplaying as Mariah May. She even had like extensions. It didn't even match, which was hilarious. And she kept doing like the whole like finger thing in her mouth. It was just the funniest thing.
Mariah May was on commentary. She wasn't happy about it. That's obviously the match for Grand Slam, which I think Toni Storm can win her title back.
I think so too, but Toni Storm's a 3-time champion. I don't think she's going to win. I think Mariah May is going to win. Even though I wouldn't be mad, obviously. Toni Storm is freaking fantastic.
But Mariah Wayne wins, that'd be good. She'll get so much heat because this Toni Storm's hometown.
That's what I'm saying. If they want to do like a mega heat like woman, they definitely got to do that. Because Mariah May is so good. She's been a great champion, honestly. I'm loving everything that they're doing with her. And of course, Toni Storm is a great face, and everything they do with her is freaking amazing too. The way they're building it, it looks like Toni Storm might win, but I'm just saying, if they want to do a swerve and she loses, I would not mind that at all. That's like a win-win situation for them, to be honest.
True. No pun intended how you said swerve. We're going to go to the main event right now.
Oh my God. So Swerve Strickland versus Ricochet. I thought they were saving this match for Grand Slam, to be honest. I didn't even know this match was tonight.
It's kind of weird.
Which was fine. Weird. I guess it was fine. Match was great, though. It was so good. Yeah, honestly, they put Ricochet in a place where he's never really been before, where he's been the heel, and like I don't know, I just thought it was great. It was a great way to showcase Swerve. Obviously, I don't like that he lost, so like, oh my God, like he's been losing a lot recently. But anyways, yeah, Ricochet ended up picking up the win.
Am I tripping? I thought Swerve won.
No, Swerve lost.
Missed the ending of that match?
No, because Swerve lost. Swerve lost, Swerve lost, and then Swerve took Prince Nana's robe that Swerve was winning, and he's been wearing it ever since. He even wore it on Collision. He said, "This is no longer Swerve's house. This is my house."
Oh, you know what? I'm tripping.
Yeah, you're tripping. He definitely won.
I don't know why I thought. Why the hell did I think he won? I'm going crazy.
No, the way the ending happened was basically Swerve was about to hit the Swerve Stomp on Ricochet, but Ricochet put his hands up like this to like stop it, and he actually ended up hitting Swerve in the nuts. The ref didn't say anything because it looked like it was by accident. Yeah. Whether that's by accident or on purpose, nobody would know, I guess. And then obviously, he ended up hitting his finisher and pick up the win.
You're right about that. But the thing is with Swerve, I feel he's one of the few guys that can take an L and it's not going to like drop him, but he has been taking a few L's lately.
Oh, I agree. Oh, wait, it says battery exhaust, but this thing's still on. Let me turn on this thing.
Wait, you just went dark. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I had to, the camera just died, so I had to use the actual bullcrap camera. So for the rest of this thing's going to look like this. But that was the end anyways.
We only have a couple of things on Collision to talk about. We don't really talk about Collision much, but...
Yeah, I mean, I talked about most of it when we were going over everything. Like, again, Adam Cole and Undisputed Kingdom are going to go after the Trios titles now. That's on Dynamite this week. That's going to be fire. We had the return of Bandido versus Brian Keith. This match was actually great. Like, honestly, it was a really good match. Was it Chris Jericho has a bounty on Bandido's head, which makes sense for the bounty hunter, Brian Keith, to go after him. It was so cool because it was, like, the old Western thing. Like, they even did, like, the back-to-back. Like the dual thing they do in like the movies where they do 10 steps and they turn around. So they did 10 steps, turn around, and they both basically claymored each other, and the crowd went nuts. It was crazy.
With Collision, it's just like they'll have banger matches. They just have a tough time promoting Collision. Like especially on the socials, they promote like Dynamite. And then Collision just happens on a Saturday. Like they barely promoting it.
Yeah.
And they'll have banger matches sometimes. Just you have to promote it like it's the actual it's almost equal to Dynamite if you actually want to build it up.
No, I agree. But they have, honestly, the past couple of weeks have been really good.
Yes, I'm getting better.
Like, this is the first time in a couple months that I've sat down and watched the entirety of Collision. Like, Collision was that good. But, of course, Bandido ended up picking up the win. I'm happy he's back. That dude's a freaking fantastic wrestler. He's, like, I think he's up there with, like, Andrade in terms of, like, the type of wrestler that he is. He's so good. But
they had a freaking, like, like a huge return for Hologram.
Yeah, Hologram returns. I felt like they should have did a big one for Bandito. I'm a bigger fan of Bandito than Hologram. But yeah, Hologram returns.
Whatever. It was some superhero thing. Like he opened like a portal.
Oh, that's like, so weird.
And all you see is a Power Ranger run out. I'm like, are you serious?
He does look like a Power Ranger. We also had Harley Cameron. Obviously, she's been getting that little push where she has like the puppet of Mercedes Moné, which is hilarious.
Yeah.
She gave us a little concert that was interrupted by Mercedes Moné. Moné tells Harley that she's not on her level. And of course, Harley says the only time she's been entertaining, aka Mercedes Moné has been entertaining, is when she has her hand up her puppet ass, which I thought was hilarious. Of course, the match is set for Grand Slam. So Harley Cameron is going to face Mercedes Moné in her home country of Australia, too. So that's going to be a banger.
But for which is it, for one of the titles? Because she has like freaking six.
For the TBS. Yeah, for the TBS title.
She got to start dropping a couple of those titles. Like, I feel like this, I don't know. They're paying her so much money. She's one of the highest paid in AEW. But they haven't been, I don't know, they haven't done nothing big. Nothing's worked so far, I think.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I don't think she's going to lose to Ari Cameron now.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to lose, but I'm just saying they got to find a way to. Because I still find her as one of the biggest stars in women's wrestling. They just, I don't know. AEW hasn't used her right.
I agree. But yeah, that was basically all I wrote for Collision. Because I already talked about the sit-down interview with Buddy Matthews. But
which I'm hoping he wins. So.
No, 100%, yeah. And then was it Kyle Fletcher defeated Mark Briscoe in the main event, which was also a banger. He made Mark Briscoe bleed.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a great match.
They went through like a table and everything. It was a good match.
Yeah. But yeah, that was basically it for, of course, the AEW side of things as well. This week of wrestling was honestly really freaking good. I enjoyed everything, to be honest. But yeah, Collision is actually getting back up there. Hopefully they keep it that way. Obviously, there's no Collision this next week. There's a Grand Slam this week.
But. I just think the only thing – so the actual product is getting better, but the promotion is still not there. Like, they're not really – like, if you go on AEW socials, they barely promote Collision.
No, like, I know. I agree.
It's about Dynamite.
I agree. Well, Dynamite's like their main show, I guess, but still.
I know, but still, it's like Raw and SmackDown. There's no main show. It used to be Raw. Now, they're kind of equal. They're both big shows. They got to find a way to do something like that.
I agree.
But the matches, everything, the product, good job, AEW. They're getting better with that over the last month, I say. Still got a long way to go, but they're getting a lot better, like you said.
Yeah, 100%. But anyways.
You still got Samoa Joe tied up with Hook in a storyline, which I don't like. They got to get out of that. Samoa Joe's
too. That was another thing that happened, too. Samoa Joe and was it Samoa Joe and Hook beat the crap out of
in the locker room.
Yeah, in the locker room. They beat the crap out of Nick Wayne.
Patriarchy.
Yeah, the patriarchy of looking for Christian, and Christian was hiding because he saw the whole thing. He witnessed the whole thing, but he was hiding behind the corner to make sure they didn't.
And I missed Christian promos. We gotta get that again. He still got the world title opportunity, which is weird too. They like locked themselves. I don't know, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm happy with it though. I'm happy that the freaking was it Samoa Joe's back and Christian's actually going to get that spotlight again. But anyways, that was basically it for, of course, wrestling this week. Next week, we had the Grand Slam review. You guys better watch because that thing's at 10:30. Jesus, man.
Yeah, and then we got some more qualifying matches for men's and women's Elimination Chamber. So got to watch Raw and SmackDown.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, like
10:30, that's a lot.
Yeah, crazy. It might even be later depending on the freaking Slam Dunk contest. Yeah. But anyways, like, comment, subscribe as always. We'll be back next week, of course, with that review. Appreciate all the support we've been getting, especially on TikTok. Thank you. Yeah,
almost 1,000 followers. So
yeah, thank you guys. But anyways, like, comment, subscribe as always. See you guys next week. Love you guys. Peace.